Track 3. The Canal.
If you would like to wander along the towpath whilst listening to this track, then go through the canal gate exit and keep the canal to your right. As you walk and listen, please stay to one side of the path in single file and watch out for cyclists. Let's go.
Terry Willetts.
I went to the canal with my brother and it had been dragged. So there's old things in their prams and, you know, bits and pieces. And I walked out what I thought was a grassed, mossy area, and it was sinking mud. And I went down to just past my waist, and my brother and his mates ran and got a lump of corrugated iron and tore it off the fence and laid it down, because if they stood on the corrugated iron, it would take longer to go down, and that's the way they pulled me out. But I had to wash all my clothes and hang them on trees before I got home for mum or anyone to see them. But that was a... That must have well, stayed in my mind forever. I was about sort of six. Seeing them days, said to mum, I'm going to the park. Yeah, all right, mine, there you go. And it might be 10 in the morning and you could be there till 9 at night. Along the side of the canal, Regent's Canal, was all thick wooded areas like plantations. I used to say, I'm going in the Plani. So you could go in there up a tree and you could stay there for hours. No one would find you. Because it was so thick and dense as you walked by, that was where everyone sort of went in it and played their games in. My brother who came with me Saturday up there, he was fishing up there when he was about 10. He's 73 now. And he still had the same bit of bent railing where he used to get through. It was one railing that was bent like that over the years. The boys have bent it out. He said, that's exactly where I used to get through. And it is still the same. It's all, everything's been trimmed up and all the railings have been painted. That railing is exactly the same.
The canals were here before the park, and in the 1840s, much of the building material for the park and its buildings would have arrived by canal barge. The barge was the equivalent of the lorry today, transporting millions of tons of goods and raw materials such as coal around the country. The canals here were dug to connect the River Thames and the busy docks at Limehouse to the Grand Union Canal in Paddington. From there, a barge can go all the way up to Birmingham and as far as Leeds and Liverpool. The canal network was built piecemeal by private companies, and there were no regulations to standardise the size of the locks or the width of the different canals. Money could be saved by making canals and locks as narrow as possible. As a result, the narrowboat, just under 7 feet wide, became popular because it could get through the smallest locks and therefore use the whole canal network. In the 19th century, most canal boats were pulled by horse along a towpath that ran alongside the canal. Most narrowboats did not have a roof, so cargo could be craned on board, apart from a small cabin which had just enough space for the boatman and his family to cook on a stove and sleep aboard. Today, most freight is transported by lorry, but narrowboats are still being built as thousands of people use them for holidays, or even, like the old boat families, live on them all year round. Sophie Duval lives on a houseboat and often moors here alongside the park.
Okay, so the moorings here at Victoria Park are visitor moorings, which means officially the boats are only allowed to stay here for 2 weeks and then you're meant to move on. I'm a newbie, so I've only been living on my boat a year. And I started off actually in Oxford, so I was like 5 months out in Oxford. On the Oxford Canal, and then I came up the long route up the Oxford Canal and then down the Grand Union Canal and into London through the Regent's Canal, and then I really like it, this end of town. Yeah. Everyone who is at the visitor moorings has to generate their own power. There's not a hook-up system for electricity. You fill your water tank at the front of your boat, at your bow, and there's a water tap actually at Victoria Park. A lot of people really like Victoria Park, not just because it's so pretty and it's great for dogs, a lot of boaters have dogs, but also because you have the facilities right there by the lock. A lot of people really love Victoria Park as their favourite spot to moor in London because it's, yeah, you know, how about living in a park? Not bad, eh?
Most houses around here did not have running water, let alone bathrooms. And before the bathing lakes were established in Victoria Park, the canals were a popular place for men to bathe and swim, and they swam naked. The canal company couldn't prevent it, so for safety, and perhaps for modesty, they ruled that it was allowed only after 9 p.m. in summer, under police supervision. But on a hot day, thousands would come, and the police were almost powerless to stop them. An eyewitness writing in the 1840s described the scene.
People are seen to undress and plunge into the water before the appointed time, and when the police attempt to take possession of their clothes as a means of securing their persons, the garments are carried off to a distance by friends, sometimes by women, with a constable in pursuit. The bather is next seen running about in a state of nudity, while other persons avail themselves of the absence of the police to commit the offence of the pursued.